Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
And back to the book of Ecclesiastes. We have already discovered that it is a series of discourses, or we could say sermons, that take us into the most significant elements of human existence and help us investigate the meaning of life. Now, that's a pretty worthy subject, a pretty worthy endeavor. And so the book of Ecclesiastes surely ought not to be avoided, though it often is, but just because it is a little difficult to understand, you can see that its purpose is highly valuable and ought to be seriously explored by all of God's people. It is composed by Solomon, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. He calls himself the preacher because that's basically what he's doing. He's preaching to the people of his day and by the Spirit of God, guided, guarded, and inspired. He writes for our day as well. What he has written has been preserved and handed down to us nearly 3,000 years after he wrote, not quite that long. And the opening discourse or sermon is in chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. And here you find the common word vanity, common to this book. It'll be used more than 30 times, as well as the phrase under the sun, another often used phrase, often used term in this book, nearly 30 times. But in the first discourse, he introduces a very important question for the consideration of all people. And the question in verse 3 is, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? That's a very important question. It is worth considering. It is worth thinking about. And that's the whole point, of course, is to think about that question. There really isn't necessarily one absolutely correct answer, though there are several correct answers and probably some that aren't so correct. But the main value is in thinking this through and giving it some serious consideration. Why am I toiling the way that I am, and what do I hope to achieve by doing this? Now, that is a very important question. A lot of people go through life without ever asking that question. They just keep rolling from one day into the next, and they get to the end of life, and they've never really given thought to why they do what they do, why they have done what they have done. And they come to the end of life, and they haven't accomplished anything because they didn't have any goals, they didn't have any understanding of why they did what they did, except just I've got to earn a living, I've got to put food on the table, I've got to pay the bills, and that was about the extent of it. So this is a very important question, and we want to continue to explore that on this Friday, June 26. We are thankful that you could join us for this broadcast. We're thankful for those whose financial gifts sponsor the broadcast and enable us to continue teaching on this station. And so the question again in verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And that's followed, that question is followed by an observation, namely, that life is brief. one generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. And so that's one observation, one truth, one guiding principle that will help us as we ponder that opening question, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Well, in endeavoring to answer that question, one thing you need to keep in mind is life is short. Life is relatively brief. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Not actually forever, but in comparison to the brevity of a human life, the endurance of the earth seems to be forever. And that is followed by three illustrations of earth's endurance, its length of existence in comparison with the brevity of one individual person's existence. And what are the three illustrations? There's an illustration of the sun, verse 5, the wind, verse 6, and rivers, verse 7. Let's look at them. Verse 5, the sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. Well, you say that doesn't seem very profound. Yes, but link it to what has just been said. The earth abides forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. And how long has that been going on? For as long as we have any recorded history. Take the observations of man living upon the earth back as far as any record we have, and the same thing has been happening every day. The sun arises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. In other words, it goes up, comes up in the east, it goes down in the west, and in a few hours, it's back to where it came up at the in the east again. And it comes up in the east, and it travels across the sky, and it goes down in the west. And a few hours later, there it is again, back at the east, coming up in the east, going across the sky, down in the west, and back to the place where it came up the day before. And that has been going on for how long? Thousands, yes, thousands of years. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also arises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. So that's the first illustration of the earth's endurance. The earth has been going on this way with these cycles, such as the solar cycles that mark our days. If the earth was unpredictable, if we didn't know that the sun would arise, if some days it didn't, and some days it didn't. And when we speak of the sun rising, and somebody's going to jump in and say, doesn't that show you that the Bible is not scientific? We know the sun doesn't rise, the earth rotates. And the earth is revolving around the sun. And the earth is rotating on its axis, and it's the rotation of the earth that makes it look like the sun rises in the east and goes down in the west, but it doesn't really. The Bible is pretty stupid, isn't it? And you know what? When I open my daily newspaper and turn to the section where it records things like inches of rainfall and so forth, you know what it records? It records the time when the sun rises in the morning. And when I watch a weather report on television, they will often give the time for the sun rise the next day. Now, are those weathermen naive? Are they stupid? Are those who write in the newspaper naive or stupid? No. They're just using the language as we use it. It doesn't mean that they don't understand that the sun doesn't literally rise and set, but we talk about sunrise and sunset. And let's give the writer of Ecclesiastes the benefit of the doubt likewise. Why shouldn't we assume that he also knows that the sun doesn't actually rise and actually set, but he's using the language of his day, just like we're using the language of our day? Isn't it interesting that the language is the same? Another testimony to what he's talking about here. The earth endures forever. We're still talking about sunrise, sunset, when we know good and well. That isn't what happens, but that's the way it appears to us, and that's the way we talk about it. Wouldn't it be rather stilted for us to say, the earth rotates to the place where the sun appears to come up at such and such a time tomorrow, and the next day it'll be, you know, 3 or 4 minutes difference, whatever it may be, that the earth rotation will be slightly different at the time when it causes the sun to appear. That's too stilted, too technical. Yes, 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 yes. We all understand that, but we talk about the sun rises and the sun sets. And it's been doing that for how long? Well, we don't know how long, but at least for thousands of years. And the next illustration is the wind. Verse 6, the wind goes toward the south, and it turns around to the north, and the wind whirls about continually and goes again on its circuit. It actually sounds to me like Solomon had rather advanced knowledge for his day of these wind circuits that we know something about today, and this is a pretty good description of it here. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Well, that's a pretty good description. It's not detailed in its scientific accuracy, but it's accurate as far as it goes for what it says. And again, this has been going on for how long? For as long as we know, for as long as history is recorded, this is what's been going on. And then finally, the rivers, verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. That is brilliant. This understanding, evidently, of the water cycles. How does that happen? That the rivers go flow into the sea, but the sea is never filled up. If Solomon didn't have any understanding of what was taking place here, that would be very perplexing to him. But he knew that that was the case. The rivers flow to the sea. They've been doing that for thousands of years, but the sea doesn't get any fuller because of it. Why? Because, as he says here, yet the sea is not full, to the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. In this case, not in the form of a river, but in the form of the water vapor that rises out of the oceans and goes up into the atmosphere and forms clouds and rains down and comes down the mountains and into the rivers, and they flow to the sea again, and here we go, the water cycle. And that's been going on for thousands of years. The earth is very long in its endurance. Well, we'll take it up, Lord willing, next Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.